Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for making it up to an 8:30 presentation. As our moderator mentioned, my name is Natalie Alizaga, and along with my colleague Rodrigo Aguayo-Romero, we'll be discussing individual factors linked to experiences of healthcare discrimination among transgender people. And we have no relationships to disclose. So before I delve into our results, I wanted to provide some definitions for some terms that we'll be using throughout the presentation to ensure that we are all on the same page. So the first is gender identity, which is an individual's internal sense of being male, female, or something in between. Since gender identity is internal, it's not necessarily visible to others. And it's important to note that gender identity is not synonymous with sexual identity, which may encompass an individual's sexual orientation and preferences, as well as how they define their sexuality. The next is transgender, which is an umbrella term for people whose gender identity, expression, or behavior is different from those typically associated with their assigned sex at birth. And when I mention assigned sex at birth, I mean the sex that you were given at birth and most likely raised as and put on your birth certificate. And the term trans is often used as shorthand for transgender. And finally, we may have individuals who identify as gender nonconforming or similar terms such as gender queer, bigender, or androgynous. And these are terms used by some individuals who identify as neither entirely male nor entirely female. And these terms also refer to individuals whose gender expression is different from societal expectations related to gender. So, as we may be aware of, transgender individuals are disproportionately at risk for experiencing discrimination due to their gender identity. And results from needs assessments and studies report rates of physical violence ranging from 43 to up to 60% in some samples, and reports of sexual violence range from 43 to 46%. And the 2007 Virginia Transgender Initiative Health Study found that participants who reported having been subjected to hostility or insensitivity based on their gender identity or gender expression in school were 4 times more likely to have made a suicide attempt compared to those who were not victimized. And the same study found that 20% of their sample reported having been denied a job because they were transgender, and 13% had been fired because of their status. And finally, transgender individuals may also face housing-related discrimination. And the same 2007 Virginia study found that 1/4 of participants reported being homeless at some point in their lives. So there are also disparities in access to health care. And in a sample of 184 transgender adults in Philadelphia, 1/3 reported having no primary care physician, and 1/4 had no access to general medical care. 1 in 4 of these respondents also reported being denied medical care because they were transgender. And in the same statewide needs assessment of Virginia, about half of transgender respondents reported having to educate their regular doctor about their health care needs. And along similar lines, 70% of transgender men report delaying health care due to fear of discrimination from providers. And in a study that assessed provider perceptions of transgender individuals, doctors were found to have somewhat negative perceptions of transgender women. And this lack of access to care can obviously have detrimental health consequences, including illegally obtaining hormones or receiving injections from someone other than a doctor or nurse. And in that Virginia needs assessment, 71% of transgender men and 37% of transgender women report having done so. So given all this information related to discrimination, particularly in healthcare settings, we were interested in what were some potential individual level factors that may be associated with experiences of discrimination in healthcare setting among a transgender sample. And for the purposes of the study, we were interested in 4 outcomes: avoidance of medical care while sick, avoidance of preventative care, being refused treatment by healthcare providers, and having to educate providers about transgender people. Right. So the sample for this study comes from the National Transgender Discrimination Survey, or NTDS. And in 2008, the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force Foundation and the National Center for Transgender Equality conducted a cross-sectional survey of 6,456 transgender and gender nonconforming individuals in the United States. The survey was made available online and in print, and it was fielded for 9 months. And it was distributed through a network of trans-serving and trans-led entities and used non-probability sampling. So some of the individual level factors that we were interested in assessing included one, sex at birth, which could be male or female, whether the participant was visually conforming or non-conforming, what the type of insurance that they had, so private, public, or having no insurance, one's race, ethnicity, which was a six-level nominal variable, having a history of transitional procedures, which includes having received counseling, hormonal treatment, or top or bottom surgery, their age, income, and level of education, their sexual orientation, and again, the dependent variable here were those four healthcare discrimination indicators I noted earlier. And for the purposes of the study, we did complete case analysis and four binomial logistic regressions, again, to assess avoidance of medical care while sick, avoidance of preventative care, being refused treatment, and having to educate providers about transgender people. So some quick demographics. The mean age was about 37 years old with a range of participants 18 to 98 years of age, which was very wide. It's a fairly educated sample with about 40% of participants reporting having some college experience. The population was primarily white with 85% of participants identifying as such. However, despite being a very educated sample, about 13% of participants were below the federal poverty line, so it's a very low-income sample. And about a quarter each of participants identified as gay, lesbian, bisexual, queer, or heterosexual. As far as sex at birth, a little over half of participants were assigned male at birth, and 44% of participants identified as being assigned female at birth. And for 22% of participants, their gender presentation did not align with their assigned sex at birth, so 22% of participants reported being gender nonconforming. As far as the history of transitional procedures, such as receiving top or bottom surgery or having hormones, 86% of participants report having done so. The majority of participants, 64%, had private insurance, with an even split of those who were on public insurance or were uninsured.
And looking at the prevalence of discrimination by the four outcomes that we mentioned earlier, we see that both in terms of avoiding medical care and avoiding preventative care, we see that one-third of our sample reported on those types of discrimination. We also see that similar to the Virginia needs assessment mentioned earlier, 50% of our sample had to educate providers about transgender people, while 19% were refused treatment by healthcare providers. When looking at the cumulative of these four discrimination outcomes, we see that 40% have not reported any type of experience of discrimination, but at least one-fourth of the whole sample have experienced one of the fourth outcomes, and 10% have experienced the fourth outcomes mentioned. Looking at differences between whites and not in the racial minorities in our sample, we see that there are no significant differences, with ethnic minorities reporting 63% of the ethnic minorities reported discrimination, while 61% of the white transgender in our sample reported discrimination. So we see overall there's a high reports of discrimination. When looking at the four binomial logistic regressions that we ran based on each of the discrimination outcomes, we see that when it comes to sex at birth, those who were assigned female at birth are more likely to report avoidance of medical care as well as avoidance of preventative care, and are more likely to educate providers about transgender people, while male assigned at birth are more likely to be refused treatment by healthcare providers. When it comes to age and income, we see that as age and income increases, the likelihood of reporting discrimination decreases. In terms of conformity, those who are gender conforming are more likely to report to educate providers about transgender people. One of the most interesting findings that we found is that across the fourth outcomes, transitional history was a significant indicator of discrimination, with those who have undergone any type of transitional procedure are more likely to report discrimination. When it comes to avoidance of medical care and avoidance of preventative care, they're two times more likely to report discrimination. And we see that this the odds increase in terms of being refused treatment and as well as in terms of this educating providers about transgender people. Although we did not see differences in discrimination of between whites and all the racial minorities, we do see some differences when we look at the specific at the different racial minority groups that we observe. Mainly, we see that American Indian and multiracial people are more likely to avoid medical care, avoid preventative care, and be refused treatment by healthcare providers. And in terms of sexual orientation, we only found significant odds in three of the outcomes for queer and asexual individuals. And discrimination based on insurance type, when compared to those who have no insurance, we see that those who have private insurance are 30% less likely to report discrimination in terms of avoidance of medical care, avoidance of preventative care, and less likely to report being refused treatment by healthcare providers. So what does this all mean? In terms of being assigned females at birth, we see that they're more likely to report avoiding preventative care. And it's important to conduct further research to understand why that this is the case, and also whether, given that they're avoiding seeking these services, whether services such as Pap tests are being marketed to this population. As well as in terms of those who are male assigned at birth, we see that it's kind of consistent with other findings that they're more likely to be refused treatment by healthcare providers. And lower income transgender show also that are more likely to report healthcare discrimination, which just shows additional evidence of the detrimental effects of low SES on health. So overall, we found that those who have undergone transitional procedures are more likely to experience healthcare discrimination, although, and granted, this is a cross-sectional study, so the directional, we need further research, either longitudinal studies or a different methodology of the study to figure out the direction of this discrimination, given that it could be that those who seek transitional procedures are being exposed to the healthcare system more often and more likely to be exposed to discrimination. So it's important, which is an area that needs to be addressed, given that transitional procedures are an important component of the treatment of transgender people. And which leads, if they're experiencing discrimination in a healthcare setting, they're more likely to seek services elsewhere where they won't have to face that type of discrimination. One aspect that we're not sure how this plays out is why American Indians and multiracial individuals are more likely to report discrimination in this sample, even more so than other ethnic minorities such as Black and Latinos, who tend to report discrimination more often. As well as one of the questions that we still have is why queer and asexual individuals identify are more likely to report discrimination compared to other sexual minorities. We do see that those who have private insurance are less likely to report discrimination, and perhaps that has to do with having access to more targeted services for transgender individuals given the type of insurance that they have. So implications also include providing or offering services for transgender individuals for those with public insurance, and in a way also highlighting how there are needs for cultural competence regarding transgender population for those services that are not targeted for that population, given that it's a population that requires services other than transitional procedures. And we want to acknowledge the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, as well as the National Center for Gender Equality for conducting this study, as well as the Fenway Institute for allowing us to conduct the secondary data with this data set. Thank you. Do you have any question? Yeah.
The magnitude of your odds ratio seemed very, very strong to me. How does that look compared to, can you give me some context that, right?
compared to like cisgender?
Yeah, in terms of like just being able to see that those odds ratios were like four and a half times. Is that an interesting finding?
I will definitely say it's an interesting finding because even controlling for all the other variables that will be, even because in that, let me just go back to that one. Right here. So, because when we think about the transitional history, we also think about the conformity, which is the visual presentation of gender. And even controlling for gender, we do see that transitional history plays a huge role. And it was surprising for us to see how that was one of the most significant findings, and it probably has to do that most the experience when seeking this transitional procedure, such as hormone treatment or breast surgery or bottom surgery. But we couldn't really tease out whether the discrimination was based on seeking those services, because you could expect that if you're seeking those services, you will go to someone that has experience with transgender people. So we don't know whether even in those settings that are transgender specific, they're experiencing discrimination, or whether this is also related, that given that they have undergone the procedure, they're experiencing discrimination, even seeking other type of services. So that's like, it's important to decide how what services are the ones that are related to the discrimination, which we don't know, but it's definitely really interesting to see these findings. I don't think they were specific about that, yeah.
No, they did ask about experiences of discrimination in different types of healthcare mm-hmm. settings, so in emergency rooms, in mental health care, primary care, et cetera. We didn't analyze that, but it would be interesting to look and see if how those relate depending on the setting. But here they just asked if it was private or public or if you had no insurance.
Yeah, we actually don't know why that might be the case, because, let's see where it is. We don't know, because we were trying to come up with
I wonder if this may have something to do with, it would be interested in assessing whether the persons who identified as queer also identified as gender queer, so not not conforming to a binary as far as presenting as male or presenting as female. And in that case, that may have some correlation or some relationship with, you know, if you're not conforming and then your sexual identity is also not, it's very fluid and not part of a binary, that may be related.
So you have many good discoveries. So if you are given a chance to make a policy recommendation, what's the number one?
Oh, that's a big question.
You want to do something this way. Beautiful results.
I think one of them, as Rodrigo had mentioned, including access to some of healthcare services for transgender people in public insurance, if that's not always or being covered by some types of insurance, if that's not necessarily always the case. Obviously, education of healthcare providers on the needs of not only lesbian, gay, and bisexual individuals, but also transgender specific healthcare needs is very important. And the sort of marketing of care. So for example, as we mentioned, pap tests, if pap tests are being marketed as a woman's health test, but there are trans men who still need access to the care, then are they less likely to seek the care because they feel not being the only guy in the waiting room? There's so many places to intervene.
Thank you.